Hallelujah. I want to go ahead and start this evening. I do want to read those four waves of revival. Smith Wigglesworth, he saw this back in 1939. And this was right, what was it, 1941, when America entered the war after Pearl Harbor. So this was even before that, 1939, and Hitler was threatening all of Europe. And so Lester Sumrall had been living there for a while, and he had met Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith was somewhat mentoring him every week. But the decree came out that all non-English, if you weren't a citizen of England, you had to return to your home country because war was imminent. So this occasion here was the last time that Smith was visited by Lester. And I'm just going to pick it up where it was the last time they would see each other. And so Smith was asking that the Lord impart to Lester what God had given him over the years. And they knew it was probably the last time they would see each other. At least they thought that was the case. And then Smith began to see in the Spirit during that time. So, Lester says, he was a big man, and as he held me close to him, his tears rolled off of his face, and they would hit me in my face, Brother Sumrall explained. Wigglesworth cried, saying, I probably won't see you again now. My job is almost finished. But as he continued to pray, he cried, I see it. I see it. And Brother Sumrall asked, What do you see? What do you see? And he said, I see a healing revival coming right after World War II. It will be so easy to get people healed. I see it. I see it. I won't be here for it, but you will be. And there was a healing revival right after the war. And we all remember that. That's the time of William Branham, Jack Coe, Oral Roberts, on and on, so many of them. By the way, Smith did get to see part of that. He didn't go home until 1947. So he may have saw the earliest stages of that. Then he continued to prophesy. He said, I see another one. I see people of all different denominations being filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that was the charismatic renewal. God raised up people during that era like the full gospel businessmen. Tongues would break out in all the denominations. You remember that? Began with there was the Catholics, and then just through every denomination, what we call the charismatic renewal. Then Brother Wigglesworth continued, I see another move of God. I see auditoriums full of people coming with notebooks. There will be a wave of teaching on faith and healing. And we did experience that wave. And we called it the Word of Faith movement. Amen? But then he prophesied. After that, after the third wave, he started sobbing. I see the last day revival that is going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It is going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied out. I know another minister that has had a vision like that, Pastor Dave. He says, I see hospitals being emptied out, and they will bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. What an honor. I feel so privileged. I feel like God's favorite, God's pet. That I could be alive during at least two of these. Really, I was alive even during all four of them. I was born in 1947, but I was too young. I've read about the healing revivals, and I've seen them on TV. I still remember Sue and I were talking today about the growing up, and I went to a denominational church that to me, and I thank God for anywhere that people get saved, okay? If they're preaching the gospel and people get saved, but to a little boy, 6, 7 years old. Most of those sermons, I just got to tell you, it's just boring as it could be. I could hardly wait to get out of there and go play ball or play with my dog, do anything, you know. But I'd go home on Sunday afternoons, and my parents would be busy doing this or that, usually outside. Even then, I'd sneak into where we had a black and white TV, and I'd turn it on. I knew what time. And I'd watch Oral Roberts on that black and white TV, empty out wheelchairs. Something in me, even then, was drawing me to the real power of God. The last time I spoke at Calling in the Lost, I think the title we called that was Manifesting the Truth. Well, manifesting the truth in the context where we're going, and where I'm keeping this now is, this is not a minister's conference, but it is. The mindset of the church is going to change. When I say the church, I mean the church at large, the real church, is going to change from God uses only the fivefold to God uses every single one of us. You are no less the body of Christ than I am the body of Christ. You are not a lesser member of the body. Can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of thee? How does Dave say that? You know, the foot comes. And he says, I have somewhat against the ear. I mean, to you women, you know, you hang jewelry off of the ear. And everyone sees the ear. You may even brush your hair backwards, you know, get it around so everyone can see your ear. And the foot says, and what do I get? 5-minute toenail inspection. Shove me in a sock. And by the way, I bear the weight of this ministry every day. I get no glory. Nobody sees me. No jewelry on me. You know. And the body of Christ, I think, has almost felt like that. That, oh, let's look at the chosen ones. Let's look at the fivefold, you know. And what's happened, and I'm not saying they didn't have a lot of help with that. Thank God he's killing the need in ministers for the glory of man. There's just no need of it anymore. You are as much the body, like my toe is as much. What happens if I stub my toe? The whole body comes to the rescue. Everything else stops. There is nothing more important than the toe. And that is exactly the way God feels about every member of his body. And you're just as important. So what I'm seeing that's coming, this revival he's talking about, is not just the fivefold, although sure, we'll be involved in the gifts. But the mindset is changing, that you are no less the body of Christ than Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, William Branham. By the way, I got to meet with a man. I've got his picture if you want to see it after the service. His name's Brother Willett, 95 years old. And he used to minister with A.A. Allen and William Branham in those meetings. I got to spend about an hour at his house. I got to kneel and let him put his hand on my head and pray for me, impart anything that he could. Brother Willett was telling us stories. Now, I don't think the Holy Spirit wants me to ignore this, so I'll just go ahead and share one of the stories. I got to sit there about an hour. He talks about a man that came to one of those meetings. This one happened to be Branham's, I think. Could have been A.A. Allen's, I'm not sure. But anyway, he came to one of those meetings, and he had been, he had been a soldier, and something had happened that had completely shattered this bone between your shoulder and your elbow on his right arm. I mean, it was all together and everything, but that arm would just flop like a dish rag there because the bones were all broken. He says you could take that arm, and you know how you can take a wash rag and wind it like this? He says you could wind that arm right, and you just watch it like a wash rag roll up right there. Can you imagine? It didn't hurt him. It'd been years, you know. Didn't hurt him to do it, but it was, that right arm was just useless. Yeah, it was. I can't remember which minister. He told so many stories there. Whichever one it was, first thing he asked the people, just like we see Dave, how many of you think God is going to fix this arm, you know? Of course, they'd been hearing the word and watching the whole service. You know, it was a tent revival that they had there in Birmingham. Everybody raised their hands. Yes, yes, yeah. So he prayed for the man. All I know is before it was over, he couldn't raise that arm like this at all. It would just dangle at his side, you know. All he had was the shoulder thing. Before it was over, the man was raising his arms, praising God. People came by for an hour after the service to feel the bone. You couldn't twist it anymore. That's why they watched. Those are coming back, those days, not just for the William Branhams and the A.A. Allens. It's for, how does Dave say it, Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, by the gifts of the Spirit. And thank God we're smart enough to know it's not us. Those kind of things don't happen by our power, does it? What did Peter say? He says, why look on us as though by my own holiness or my own power somehow? I heard Andrew Womack say this years ago. See, this will get you, if you'll get this, it'll, well, not, I heard it on a tape. I haven't ever met Andrew, but he's my brother. I heard Andrew say years ago, and I see y'all have heard mine and Sue's testimony. We were not the most holy and righteous people before we got saved. I mean, we were easy to lead to the Lord, because one thing about it, we knew we were going to hell. There wasn't any doubt about it, you know. I heard his testimony one time, him, Andrew Womack. And he says, you got to understand, he said, I was saved as a little boy, filled with the Holy Ghost as a little boy. He said, I never smoked a cigarette. I never had a drink in my life, still haven't. I never kissed a girl that wasn't my wife. He said, if you're going to be, talk about holy, and growing up holy and living holy, he said, I'm the poster boy. It's just the way he was. And I'm thinking, I can't even hardly relate to that world, but anyway, that was him. But he says, I noticed later on when, you know, he really started serving the Lord, he said, when I'd pray, I didn't have any more power than anybody else. I found out right away it's not by my own holiness, even though I lived a pretty holy life. No, it's not by holiness. What did Peter say? Is it by my own power or my holiness? What did Peter say? It is through that name and faith in that name that you see this man made whole before you. Well, that's going to help us get over ourselves. Now, I believe in living holy. Do you? I believe in living righteous. I believe in living a style that is so different from the world. They may admire you or hate you, but they cannot ignore you. I want there to be enough difference where they can say that person right there, and whether they like some will say it out of respect, and some will say it out of sneering almost. Yeah. That person is a Christian. Either way, I'm okay with that. We're coming into a time of witnessing, and I'm talking about, again, Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. Not just sharing your testimony anymore, although we're always going to do that. Not just sharing scriptures, although we're all going to do that. But a time where once you share, then you show. When you pray, it's going to be a manifestation of the truth. Demonstration of the Spirit in power, giving infallible proof that Christ is not only alive, but that He is alive in you. This is why, starting with the fourth dimension in the Bible book that a dear friend shared with me a long time ago, and then to my shame, I went about a year without reading it. But when I did read it, it's changed me, and everybody can tell it's changed me. And it's going to change me more. Just the way I am wired, it's like all of the gears inside of Gary begin moving again. I think I'd almost been in a place of stagnation for a while. But something about seeing that truth presented that way. My Bible is new again. Scriptures, like, go to Ephesians. I never even told you where to go. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 3. This has been one of my favorite passages in the Bible forever, ever since I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. It's one of the prayers in Ephesians that Paul prays. And I've always loved it, and even the verse that we're about to look at, I've always admired it. But suddenly, it means so much more to me, and the reality of this gospel of the kingdom. We're going to be hearing that phrase a lot, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we're not going to become, quote, kingdom now, in the way you may have heard that phrase, okay? And I don't even want to get into that, but if you do a little research, you can find out what that means. We're not going to become one of the no-dies. Dave talks about the no-dies. They have this doctrine that he that believes in Christ shall never die. And they took it to mean physically, which was good until the elders till the movement lasted long enough to where the elders began dying. Now they've revised it a little. No, we're not going off that away. Okay. But Jesus did say, he said, this gospel of the kingdom, not just this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto every nation. Then shall the end come. Well, I noticed when he sent out his disciples, he didn't say, just go tell them words. He did tell them to go tell words. He said, you go and preach that what did he tell them? The kingdom of God is at hand. Now, if something is at hand, that means it's within grasp, it's within reach, it means it's at hand. I can have that. What's there, I can have it. It's not something far off. See, I used to wonder why the Bible, why Jesus would say about John the Baptist that he was the greatest prophet of them all. He said, born of woman, there's not been any greater. And I think, John the Baptist? He never raised the dead. John the Baptist, he didn't make the axe head float. I got to thinking, why in the world would they say that about him? And then finally I got it one day. All of the other prophets, boil it down however you like, the end result, one sentence, their message was, he is coming. All of the rest of them, he is coming. But only John the Baptist had the message, he is here. Well, that's our message too. He is here. He is alive. He lives through me. His power flows through me. In coming weeks, we're going to be looking at what I call the portal. There's nothing magic about that. Boy, he's just taking... My job's to follow. Is this okay? You doing okay? See, I always had a problem with John 15 where he'd say, I am the vine and you are the branches. Because we have other analogies where he talks about each of us being a seed. It was easier for me to relate to the seed image than to the vine image. And I know the difference. On my grandparents, I'm talking about my mother's parents, they had both. They had cotton crops and they had corn crops. And they also had grapes. He liked to grow grapes. Man, if you've never... You can't even buy them anymore. The kind that... Now, he grew more than one flavor, but the kind that I loved, the ones I remember as a little boy. Oh, those big black Concord grapes. Where did they go? Why can't you find them anymore? You can't find them anywhere, you know? Big boy, I remember those things, juicy and delicious. But see, my mindset, when I know Jesus, here in Ephesians, we could look at it here too. It's not the verse I was headed for, but where is Christ? Where is he physically right now? He is seated at the right hand of the Father. We know that, see? So I am a seed. I know we have... You know, there's a seed that planted on the inside of me, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I could relate more like, not the grapes, because for grapes, there's a continuous flow. There is, you know, he says, without me, you can do nothing. I am the vine. You are the branches. Well, that relates to a grape-type situation or a tree-type situation where the fruit, the branch, is directly connected to the source. But seeds are not exactly like that, are they? See, you got an individual seed, now there's life in it. But it is not directly connected to the source. That's not in that same way. So I always related more in a seed relationship, a seed understanding. Christ is in heaven. I'm on planet Earth. He gave me life, but to me it was like a corn seed. You know, it's not directly connected all the time. Oh, I didn't look up this verse. It's in 1 Corinthians 6, I believe. Well, get it. Trust me, you're going to get sick of that verse before these next months are over. But the verse goes like this. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Previews of coming attractions. That is your vine and branches verse right there. That is the portal. See, we are connected with him. This unseen realm, I don't like calling it the fourth dimension. I'm going to start calling it the kingdom of God. It is where God lives. It is where Christ is, the kingdom of God. There is a joining, and I mean a literal joining. That spirit on the inside of us transcends both worlds. It is a portal between earth and the kingdom. The kingdom flows through that portal. You are the conduit. And I heard Benny Hinn say this many years ago, but I couldn't quite get it. You know, those, you ever been in a Benny Hinn meeting? I mean, there's so much worship that goes on before they turn the cameras on, you know. If you've ever been in one, I mean, for a couple of hours. You ever been in one of those? And man, I mean, and it's great. It's worship. But see, I've been in other worship services like that. I mean, I've been in services where they'd worship for 4 or 5 hours. I talked with Dave about this. I said, I've been in really good worship services where the miracles didn't just start happening. See, I would see in a Benny Hinn meeting, if you go, and again, as soon as I say this, and there'll probably be some, we don't normally talk about ministries much anymore, and for obvious reasons, okay? But I don't know how else to talk about it without talking about it. There was a certain ministry, I don't know. Well, see, Dave's been, I wasn't in a meeting with Dave, but he's been in them and I've been in them. And I said, Dave, I've been in there. The miracles start happening before Benny ever walks out on the stage, don't they? Those that's been there, they start taking testimonies before he ever walks out. And I said, is it the worship? And Dave said, well, the worship is good. He said, but you can go to a lot of good worship services where the miracles don't break out like that. He said, I said, well, why did they break out there? And he said, because Benny is there. It's Benny's relationship with the Holy Ghost. It's Benny's relationship with the living Christ. And I heard Benny say it one time, say it this way. He says, I am a hose. I am a conduit that heaven flows through. I'm just the hose. But that's okay. How many are you willing to, what are you in the body of Christ? I am a hose. What's your calling? What is the great thing that God has called you to be in the body? I have been called to be a hose. I am a vessel through which the life of Christ flows to the lost and the sick. And manifestations of power happen by the Holy Ghost. That's us. That's us. And it's not just the fivefold. It was never intended to be the fivefold. I'm just following him best I can now. Listen. He asked me this years ago when I say, if I think it was 10, it was 15. He said, have you ever seen a seed that when you plant it and you nurture it, and you maybe put some fertilizer on it, now they say you got to talk to it. But you do everything you can, and then that little plant grows, and finally it's harvest time. And you go to harvest from your plant, and there's only one fruit, one seed harvested. He said, have you ever seen a plant like that, where you plant one seed, and then you only get one seed back? He said, no, and you never will, because that is not the Father's plan. And it wasn't his plan with Jesus Christ either. He says, no, and you never will either, because God's plan is a plan of multiplication. And so it is with Jesus Christ, who is the seed. The seed, what? The very first prophecy. Go all the way back to Genesis. What did God say to the devil? The seed of the woman shall crush your head, bruise your head. Who is that seed? Women don't have seed, for crying out loud. Who is that seed? That's Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. He is the seed that was planted. Does God intend to only have one? I said, when he showed me that vision that time, I mean, I spent those years driving the trucks all across this land from sea to shining sea, as they say. I have seen the corn crops in Indiana. I have seen the wheat fields in Kansas. I have seen the crops that grow. And I mean, when you get into real farming country, those crops disappear over the horizon. You plant one seed and you get millions, if you'll allow me, millions of seeds. I'm thinking again now of my father's little apple trees that he planted up there 40 years ago now at the Grand Lake. One seed. That tree came from one seed. And for 30 some odd years, when it's apple season, we used to have to take tubifores out and prop the limbs up, because if we didn't, there was so much fruit it would break the limbs off. Hundreds of apples, and each apple, not just one seed in there, multiple seeds even inside the apple. There's multiple seeds inside of you. There's a harvest you're going to take to heaven with you. The potential is there. You're not going to just live your life and die. You're going to produce trees. Glory to God. Somebody's having revival already. Mary's having revival ahead of us. That's okay. I'd see that apple tree of my dad's. And you know what? You didn't have to replant it every year. The Bible talks about the person that's willing to meditate in God's Word day and night, day and night, day and night. Meditates day and night. His leaf shall not wither. And it doesn't matter what the natural circumstances, whether the rains come, whether the rains don't come, because you're planted. You're planted by the rivers of living water. You draw your nourishment. I remember driving across the Mojave Desert. You can do it today. And I mean brown, 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 brown for 100 miles. Nothing but sagebrush and brown. The first time I ever saw it, I thought, what in the world is that coming up? I saw like a strip of green across the horizon coming as the truck got closer. Finally, I got there, and what it was little trees. Now, they're not huge like we have here, but they were taller than your head. And they were around. It was a dry stream running through the desert. Little bridge goes across it. Little dry stream, but still underground. You know there's got to be water under there. Because nothing else, no other green anywhere, except along both banks of that dry stream. Those trees are drawing nourishment from an unseen realm. And their life is not dependent whether the rain comes or not. You are drawing your life from an unseen realm. As you meditate on God's Word, pray in the Spirit and allow that communication to come to flow, let me say it this way, between you and heaven, you and the kingdom of God. Your nourishment, your life, your provision, if you'll allow me. You're just like those trees planted by the rivers of water. Recession can come or not come. Wars can come or not come. Political good or political bad can come. But your nourishment, your provision, your source of power, your source of life, you've tapped into a realm that this world knows nothing about. You've tapped into a realm that very few Christians know about, to be honest with you. Yes, sir. Normally when we teach, we stop right about there and talk about your nourishment and your provision. But really, where we're going, you're going to become that hose that not only is your stream watered, not only is your house watered, but you're going to be a hose, God's delivery system, to deliver that nourishment, that life, that healing, that power to a lost and dying world. Read it this morning. Okay. I read it this morning. I don't guess we're going to turn there. But you can read it. Ezekiel 47. Type of the Holy Ghost talking about that river. You notice it flows out of the sanctuary. Hello, sanctuary. You are the temple of the living God. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. If that's not a type and shadow of the sanctuary that you are. Out of your living, out of your being, out of the sanctuary of your spirit, that river of the Holy Ghost flows. And wherever that river comes, you remember? Everything that it touches shall what? Everything shall live. We are coming into such a good time. Did you ever find Ephesians 3? Ephesians 3. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible. It's a prayer. See, now I love that it's written to the Ephesians. The Ephesians were a very religious people, but they were a very pagan people. If you read it, that's where the riot broke out. Because Paul, his ministry was so successful in Ephesus that one of the main businesses there, they had a giant temple to the god, help me, goddess, what was her name? Thank you. I started to say Athena, I knew it wasn't right. Diana. And there was nothing like this happens today, but there was a craft, a business about selling artifacts, merchandising the goddess of Diana. Nothing like that happens in our day, but anyway, then. And they were making a good living at it, you know, they're merchandising. I don't know what they were selling, you know, but some kind of little somethings. Well, Paul's ministry comes in. He's getting so many people born again. It's literally affecting the sales. Business is dropping off. See, it's one thing to come in and preach. It's another thing to come in and affect somebody's business. Boy, it got upset, and some other ones so upset that they caused a riot. There was a riot, and if I remember right, they brought them to this like a open air theater, and the people all joined in, and for hours the people were shouting, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" A pagan people, but religious all the same. But after they got born again, this letter is to that same group. See, I don't care if your daddy believed it, and his daddy believed it, and his daddy before him. In other words, you're a religious person yourself. I don't care. God is able to come in with His power by the Holy Ghost and shake all the falseness away from your temple. We're coming into a time of shaking. Be ready for that. Embrace it when it comes. We're still believing things that aren't so. How can you say that, Brother Gary? I go to the prayer center. Well, I teach at the prayer center, and I'm still saying it. Because Dave says, he told me years ago, he says, "Gary, don't stop praying the mysteries. There are things we don't understand yet. Otherwise, we would already be in the revival. Because God's not withholding it from us. He's doing His best to get it across to us." So I love it that this prayer is written to that bunch. Great is Diana of the Ephesians, you know, great is whatever. No. He says, verse 14, we'll start in 14. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole religion in heaven and earth is named." No? Did I miss a word? Of whom the whole what? Of whom the whole family. I want to remind you again, you know why Abraham and God got along so well? Neither one of them wanted to start a religion. Read Genesis again. You don't see Abraham out in the desert going, "Oh God, help me start a great religion. That's my desire, God. I want to start a great religion. Oh God." Is that what Abraham wanted? Abraham wanted children. He wanted children born of his own flesh. God says, "You want children born of your flesh? I would like to have on planet Earth children born of my spirit. You and I should make a covenant together. It'll provide the children that you want. And eventually, it's going to provide the children that I want." God's not interested in no religion. He's interested in family. Hello, family. Glory to God. "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." I know that's capitalized in our King James, and it's okay. But that's Romans. The capitalized part is Romans 8:26, which says, "The Spirit also helps with our infirmities." Well, if the Holy Spirit also helps, there has to be something else That's primarily helping. And what is that? Born again trail, yes. It is that reborn human spirit, the part of you that is born of God. That's how He strengthens you. A spirit born of Himself. And the Holy Spirit will also help. Trust me, He'll help you. But that's how He strengthens you in the inner man, by His Spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Boy, now here we come and see. Christ may dwell where? In your heart. Now we're again approaching the portal thinking now. This connection. This pathway. This hose. This conduit. Between the kingdom of God, where He physically is. And earth, where we physically are. But He dwells in our hearts by faith. See, and faith is what... Okay, here we go. Faith is what looses or causes the flow. Every Christian that is joined to the Lord, every Christian is joined to the Lord by that one Spirit. But have you noticed? The power doesn't flow through every Christian. That is going to change. Again, from the vision, I'm seeing it again, Ezekiel 47, which we're not going to read again. Remember, I was telling all of these wonderful things, as that river flowed, and you finally got caught up in the river yourself, and you're letting the river take you now. And everywhere that it came, there was life and healing, and wonderful things were happening. And the fishermen were catching fish again, which is evangelism, and it was all good, you know, except in the miry places and the marshy places. And if you ever, you can just go right down to Arkansas or any river, and you'll find places like that. And they're connected to the river. It's the same water. But those little marshy places, they'll be off to the side. It'll be a little place. The water's in there, all right. But there is no flow. There is no flow. And it says those waters there, they're not full of life. They're full of salt. In other words, they're death. No power flow. That's the churches of the frozen chosen. And it's not saying they're not going to heaven. It's not saying it's not connected with the river. But there's just no life there. Did she? Oh yeah, Miss Daisy. See, anyone that was at the service today, I hadn't seen Daisy do that in a while. Yeah, used to we saw that more often, didn't we? You're going to see a bunch of stuff more often. Glory to God. We're coming into a power time. I'm so glad I go to this church. I'm so glad to be here at such a time as this. I believe I was born for such a time as this, and I believe you were too. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And where has Dave been taking us? Back into the love of God. Further and deeper than we've ever been before. I can't wait till we all get behind that bank vault door that he saw, you know, cracked open a little bit. Just a glimmer. Remember just a little glimmer that came out when he saw that love, and he had it for like 60 seconds. And for 2 years, he could hardly do a conference anywhere. He'd walk in the room and weeping would break out all over the building. He wouldn't have to say anything. Just walk in the room. Well, wait till that happens with you in Walmart. Wait till that happens with you on your job. I'm just walking my dog. We'll pray for the sick later. No, I'm teasing. No, of course you pray for the sick. I'm just saying that's going to become part of us. You're going to be a hose, not just in church. You're going to become that conduit, that portal. I'm tired of the miry places. I do not want to be in the miry place. I want to be where the river flows. Yeah, but there's wildfire there, you know. I'd rather have a little wildfire than no fire. I've had my fill of no fire. Thank you very much. We'll teach them. Don't worry. We'll teach them. God won't fall off the throne if someone gives a false interpretation of a tongue. God is bigger than that, you know. Somebody thinks they need to prophesy, and what they need to do is pray. You know. You know, it's okay. It's okay. God's a good father. He knows how to handle babies, and we're going to have the love to do that same thing. Amen. Verse 17, that Christ... We ain't even got to the verse. I got to speed this up. that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, boy, now that's where we got to be, may be able to comprehend with only the fivefold. See, it's all the saints. It's all the saints. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? And to know the love of Christ. And that, you notice it does not say, and to know about it. That's where most Christians, where I missed it for a long time. I kept trying to study to know more about the love of Christ. See, I know more than to know about the love of Sue. I can talk to you about the love of Sue, and you will know about the love of Sue. But it's a big difference between that and to know, not about, but to know the love of Sue. We're coming into a time of knowing the love of Christ in a way that's seldom, seldom if ever. Because that love, it passes knowledge. See, how many times have you heard me say that? There's two things I know for sure. Two things on planet Earth that I know. One, Jesus loves me. Two, Sue loves me. And I don't know why. See, it's a love, because I know me. It is a love that passes knowledge. It absolutely passes knowledge. Those of you with children, your children can, when they get older, and I love my children even as I say this, they know I do, but they'll do stuff. They'll test your love. And the thing of it is, now you'll get angry, you want to correct them, whatever. But you know, it never really touches that love. You still love them. It passes knowledge. It passes what they do. It passes everything. You'll still lay down your life for that child. Why? Because you love that child. Well, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, as that process happens, that's how you become filled with all the fullness of God. Why? Because God is love. God is love. Now here's our verse that I thought we was going to start with. We're trying to get to this verse the whole service. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, and if it stopped there it would be one level, or think, according to the power that works in us. Ever since I've seen that analogy from the fourth dimension, that little book, and I think about the Flatlander guy, in my little vision, he just felt so superior to the Linelander. That poor little ignorant Linelander. All he knows is length. Well, that poor little thing. Forwards and backwards his whole life and thinks he knows something. And he comes up to an obstacle and it's impossible for him. And the Flatlander's looking. The Flatlander's a poor little Linelander. Goes down there and helps him with his problem, you know. And the Flatlander thinks, I'm just a pretty smart fella. That's where I put down the hula hoop, you know, and he's trying to get into the center of that hula hoop, and he can't even think vertical. He can't even think it. In his universe, there is nothing to relate to. There, he can go to the best university. Yes, sir. This is exactly what Jesus meant when he was telling Peter. Now, Peter had been in every meeting of Jesus's for 3.5 years. He could probably recite those sermons by heart at this point. But Jesus said to him hours before the cross, I have many things yet to say unto you, Peter, but you cannot bear them now. He might as well have said, you little Flatlander. Because there was no spirit in Peter to be able to comprehend the things of another world, the things of the kingdom of God. And that's 1 Corinthians 2. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. For these things are spiritually discerned. What God has done, he left us in earthland, but he did not leave us as earthlanders. We are kingdom landers. We are sons of the living God. We are from that realm where God is. And we're on temporary loan to this world. Temporary loan. We're on the same mission that Jesus was on. He says, Father, as you have sent me, now I send them. Father, the glory you gave me, I have given them. The love that you love me with, Father, you now love them with. We're on the same mission, with the same life, anointed by the same Holy Ghost. We are the seeds that have been planted, but even more than that now, we are the branches that are literally connected to the vine. And the life of Christ flows through us and produces fruit from our limbs. Previews of coming attractions. I'm excited about where we're going. Can you tell something has happened on the inside of me? I am telling you, I have never been so excited in all my years. I'm looking forward to it. I think someday we'll empty the hospitals. I'm going tomorrow? I mean, we're on the cusp of this. I'm telling you, we're on the cusp. We're right on the edge of this. I hate to say something so simple to you. The only reason we're not walking into this unbelief. That's it. It's unbelief. That's going to change. He's showing me. I'm telling you, you've heard me say it, because I heard him say it. We are going to look back at all these previous days, and we are going to just laugh that we ever thought it was so hard. And I want to tell you this, another analogy he gave me. See, I was only about 7 or 8 years old when they broke the 4-minute mile. But I remember it was such a big deal. And I read about it, I heard about it later in high school, But in the 50s, finally, this guy broke the 4-minute mile. And nobody ever, and many had tried, they tried forever. Since we had clocks, I guess, and where you could stopwatch. Nobody, and there were books written about how it is impossible that man will ever... Hey, you ought to read some of them they used to have about when trains were coming out, and they said, no, if the man's body travels faster than 15 miles an hour, his mind will explode. It's going to be like the 4-minute mile he showed me, because once they broke it, everybody started breaking it. See, once man, something happened in their believer. Can I say it that way? Something happened in their believer. Oh, I can do this. That's coming to you. Oh, I can do this. And it's really Christ in me, but I can do this. And it's going to be exactly like the 4-minute mile thing. It's going to sweep through the body. And it's not going to be just the preachers, just the fivefold. I mean, it's going to sweep through the body. And we're going to have 4-minute mile breakers everywhere. We're going to have anointed ministers everywhere. Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public. Same Holy Ghost, same hose, same connection. You are joined by one Spirit to the Lord. The same. Oh. Just rewind the clock. We'll start again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited. I'm excited. But you watch. It's going to be very similar to that 4-minute mile thing. It's going to start breaking out. Then it's going to start breaking out. And then it's going to start breaking out. We're going to have a revival. Lord, my Bible is new. One of my favorite stories. It's not a story. I hate to use that word. One of my favorite episodes. The people had already been with Jesus in the wilderness for 3 days. They're getting hungry. So the disciples come, you heard me talk about this. We should go into town. Our natural thinking, you're going into town? Would you get me a ham sandwich while you're there? Natural thinking, see. On this trip. You know what he really said to them? I mean, he did that. He fed them with the loaves and fishes. But you know what he said to them? What he said to them is, you feed them. That's what he's about to say to you individually. And that's him. Don't get me wrong. It's Christ in you. You feed them. I need to go find Pastor Dave to pray. You feed them. Let my power flow through you. You're standing right there. You feed them. That's where we're going. Rewind the clock. I got to start again. Man. And it's my Bible is new. I'm telling you. I don't know whether to ignore these. I don't think I'm supposed to. Another one. Another favorite. Jesus sows the word. Let's cross over to the other side. He just got through teaching on Mark 4. Satan comes immediately. Let's cross over to the other side. They get in the boat. I'm on a mission from God. What are you doing? I'm crossing over to the other side. What comes? Great storm of wind. And they row and they bail and they do everything in the natural they know to do all night. And these guys are fishermen. They made their living on that sea. They know that. But it was to no avail. We're going to die. We're going to die. None of you ever prayed like that. Don't you care, God? Don't you even care? None of us have ever been guilty of that, have we? Don't you even care, God? I'm going down for the third time. We've taught this for years. You know, what does he do? Does he get up and grab an oar and a bucket to bail with? See, it was a spiritual storm. You can't stop a spiritual storm by natural means. So he used the authority he had in the Spirit. And he stopped the storm. Now, we've preached that a million times. What's new? Well, he could. What's new? What did he really say? Peace. What had he been doing? Where was he during all that storm? Would you say he was full of... He could bring peace. He could command peace. Because he was full of peace. And that's the way we're going to be. Not have to work it up. I mean, you gotta renew your mind. But the goal is to not always be in that process. The goal someday is to actually believe God. And be full of peace in the midst of the storm. And when you are, then you can deliver peace. Because you're full of peace. See, that's new. My whole Bible's new. I'm telling you. When did they write this? It's new again. It's exciting. Okay. That same Peter. Don't you care? We're going to die the way it's worded. Don't you care? We're going to perish. That same Peter later on wrote, cast the whole of your care. Think he learned? Cast the whole of your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Peter, now they had already killed James. They had already killed James, executed him, the book of Acts. Now they've got Peter in prison. And they're going to execute him. But when they come in, do they find him on his knees, weeping and wailing and crying out to God? Oh God, oh God. And he was asleep. Why? He was full of peace. He had a word from God. The Lord had already said to him, Peter, when you're old, and that word there means the age of senility. He wasn't saying he'd become senile, but he was saying, when you're old like that age, that's when you're going to die, not now. So Peter, because he trusted, how did Paul say it to Timothy? By these prophecies, make a good warfare. Peter says, I'm not old enough to be senile. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care that they just killed James last week. There's a nice spot. I think I'll lay down there and take a nap. And when the angel come in, the angel had to thump him on the side to wake him up. He's not full of fear. He's full of peace. Resting in the word. He was by that prophecy making a good warfare. How? Take a nap. Full of peace. My Bible is new. It's wonderful. Things that you have known and let slip. You know, we're talking about how can we let these things slip. There are kingdom ways and there are earthly ways. And then there's earthly ways combined with religion that are not kingdom ways. Okay? Death and life are in the power of the what? You know, sometimes you can hear that same truth said just a little different way. Doubt. What is doubt? It's a thought running around in your head that's hunting for your mouth. That is so true. I could give you a lifetime of experiences about how that is true. The devil can be firing doubt at your brain like machine gun bullets going through there. That you can't stop the doves from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Well, those thoughts don't really become energized until you speak them. The thought that's running around in my head, it's hunting for my mouth. But if I don't let it have my mouth, I'll kill that. That thought will die on the vine. It'll die.